Hi, you are tuning to Awani Review with me, Cynthia Ng. Joining me on the show today is a very special guest because it's not often that he gives TV interviews. So I'm really excited to have him here today. Dato Sri Amir Hamzah, the CEO and President of Tenaga Nasional Berhad, our national utility provider. Dato, thank you so much for having me at your office and just coming on the show. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me.
So I really want to get straight into what's happening in the world, right? The COVID-19 pandemic. How would you describe the disruption that you've seen arising from the pandemic and the lockdown?
I think that if you look at the COVID was unprecedented. Nobody in the world had thought something as small as a small germ that could actually shut down the whole world and changed. And here in Malaysia, we have seen the effect of COVID running through the whole spate of the economy. And in Tenaga, I think as an essential service in Malaysia, we were hugely affected in terms of how we had to provide service in the country. And I think from our priority, we focused about serving amanah, the thing that we are here to do, which is to provide reliable electrical services to the country. And that was a challenge, because in order to service, we had to have people deployed and outbound and doing things, right? So when the lockdown came down, although we were essential, we had to choose which part of our organization had to come to work and which one don't
Correct.
Come to work. So there was an adjustment for a very traditional
organization. What were your first priorities, when the lockdown happened and you had to really respond quickly, right? What you needed to do?
I think when you look at it, you look at it from a side of what's important. First, understanding what your amanah is. Our amanah is actually to make sure the lights are continuing on in Malaysia. So that's number one. Number two, make sure our people are safe. So therefore, provide the right support to the people so that they could continue to provide the work that they do in a safe and orderly manner. So we went through a very heavy series of protocols to be able to provide the service and look after the health of our people. Third, make sure that while we're doing this, we identify how to service the customer in a better form. And in that instance, the COVID period forced us to innovate in terms of how we wanted to do things, right? So trying to push things along the digital end from even a very traditional business was a very, very important thing. And we saw our MyTNB app really drive in terms of volume of sign-ups during the COVID period.
So it was somewhat a blessing in disguise in the sense of driving digitalization among not just your staff, but consumers.
Definitely.
I would like to understand the impact of the pandemic and the lockdown to Tenaga Nasional, because collection in April and May, I believe, fell significantly because factories were shut, businesses were forced to close during the lockdown, right? What is the impact to earnings?
When we looked at the collections, of course, when the system went into lockdown, it is not unexpected. We would expect volume to be dropping. We would expect customers to also have change in their payment patterns and so on. So those are things that we have planned for, and then we looked at ways to manage and mitigate along the way. But in essence, I think we're quite lucky. We're quite lucky because I think Malaysians understand the importance of electricity and they were very supportive in continuing to support the payments along the way.
Has energy demand recovered to pre-MCO levels?
No, energy demand has not come back to pre-MCO levels because our life has not come back to pre-MCO levels, right? We're all changing. When we went into lockdown, 75% of the TNB workforce was working from home. Today, we have that number reversed. 25 working from home, 75 in office. But there are a lot of companies in Malaysia today that have a large portion of their population still working at home. And because of that, a lot of things have adjusted along the way. So when you look at demand, from our side, we have not seen the commercial sector fully back yet. Because I think two sides. One is changing of patterns when people work from home, what they do, what they live with, what they adjust changes also. So we've seen, for example, a logistics business doing very well. People doing deliveries and stuff. But the ones which are in physical locations, not so well. So commercial sites on those things have come down. We continue to see slightly higher consumption domestic because the people working from home. Office spaces are down because people are not working from offices anymore.
What are you seeing in terms of recovery? What is the conversation in corporate Malaysia? Are CEOs saying that this is just a temporary blip, or do you see more headwinds in the near future?
I think if you look at COVID, it is an impact that has hit the whole world. So the whole world has gone into a different mode of reassessing, resetting their ways of doing things, right? So we will see this year to be significantly slower into a recessionary mode for our businesses. But we're hopeful that we're beginning to see some signs of life, mm-hmm. That there will be some form of recovery over the years, next year and the year after and so on.
So TMB is also offering discounts until December. Mm. This is one of the things that you're doing to help consumers, right? But these things that you're doing, it is also going to impact bottom line, right?
I think TNB is unique. Yeah? It's unique. Yes, it is a business. It runs as a business and so on. But it's unique because it is a company that values its contribution back to society. And when the COVID hit, we looked at that in terms of what do we have to do to support Malaysia come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So there were a couple of areas that Malaysia needed to come back on. One was the immediate fight against the pandemic itself. So I think TNB was one of the first companies that stepped up to the plate. We tried to create a movement where corporates give back. Yeah. So we contributed money in terms of funds to the Ministry of Health to support the purchasing of equipment in order to support the people who were in the hospitals and so on. We also gave directly to the state governments in order to improve health and medical inside it. The second priority for us was then actually to help the people who have been affected inside this. And the most affected people were normal consumers like you and I. Yeah, and we felt that it was important that we help them get onto their feet while the things been put. And we worked together with the government and the ministry in order to put in a package to support through Bantuan Prihatin Elektrik and so on. So we're giving out discounts, yeah, to support consumers, but focusing predominantly from the lower end of the consumer, which
so
has
it's
been
more targeted.
More targeted along the way. And we also targeted some selected industries, and the ones that have been hit hard, the tourism industry and so on, and also give them some support along the way. Because the quicker the economy rebuilds, the quicker the economy restarts along the way, the better it is for the whole thing. So it's part and parcel of building the ecosystem.
As the sole electricity provider in Peninsula Malaysia and Sabah, Tenaga is perceived to have its mandate to the people. But, you know, as a CEO, how do you act in the best interest of both shareholders and the public?
I don't think these are things that are opposites to each other. I think it's a balance. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a balance that one has to maintain. Yeah, because we are a business that is regulated. Yeah, Tenaga is regulated through our regulator, Suruhanjaya Tenaga, and they set the framework of the business model that we operate inside. Through that framework, our responsibility is to keep the lights on in Malaysia, to build and provide good services and so on. I think in that area, we're quite clear in how mm-hmm. we do it. But in order to serve the people also, we also have other social targets that we try to do in terms of helping build the Malaysian economy, support the vendor development network, support CSR projects that are longer term nature about helping Malaysia grow in that form.
Tenaga has always been perceived as a monopoly in the power industry in Malaysia, right? Do you view this as truth?
Well, if you look at it, we are a regulated business. I think there is a distinction between a monopoly and a
regulator. Can you explain that for the regulated business?
A regulated business means that a regulator has been established. In our instance, it's Suruhanjaya Tenaga. They set the framework for our business operation. In setting the framework of the business operation, Suruhanjaya Tenaga sets how much money I can spend, yeah, based on programs that we want to do against targeted growth targets that we want to do in the country, how much investments to improve the infrastructure and so on, what's operating expenditure that I have to do. And through our framework system also, they set the tariffs that get set to the consumer. So in a sense, I am an organization that executes what has been set through the framework that the Suruhanjaya actually sets. So I don't have pricing power, but I have targets that are set for me to be able to execute.
So is there room for competition in Malaysia, in the energy sector, utility?
There's room for competition in anything that we do. If you look at our business today, we are already deregulated in our generation sector. Since 1993, the generation business is deregulated. I have competitors that I operate inside. Tenaga doesn't own more than 53% of the market share of generation capacity in Malaysia, for example. And if a competitor is opened up, Tenaga is not going to say no to it. Mm-hmm. We will compete inside that one. That's okay. It's up to the regulator to set the framework that we actually have to operate inside. Okay. Yeah, fully deregulated or not regulated. And if you look at our business plans, we've already put ourselves on the path to prepare for potential entry of other players in the market. In our generation business, we are setting up our generation company that starts to operate fully from October this year. And in retail, we are setting that one up by January next year. And it will be operating in a standalone subsidiary mode. Yeah. And what's important is we innovate with the customer in mind to service the customer as best we can.
Okay, I'd like to switch gears and talk about sustainability. You know, there's a lot of talk about sustainability in the business. How does TMB aim to pursue the green agenda?
And we've seen the government actually set targets for the industry that by 2025, 20% of our energy generation should come from renewable sources. And Tenaga is committed to go down to that path. So there are a couple of places in the Tenaga business model that we are focused on. First is in the generation space itself. Mm-hmm. So in every tendered large-scale solar project that comes up, Tenaga will compete aggressively because we are wanting to participate in the renewable sector. And I think for LSS1, LSS2, we've been successful. And we hope as the next tender comes up, we will aggressively also participate to be part of that journey because energy transition is going to move to renewables. In the consumer side, we're seeing distributed generation occurring. So that means people like you and I
can participate
by putting solar on our rooftops. Mm-hmm. Industries can put solar on their rooftops. And Tenaga has set up its own subsidiaries that provide services for customers who want to subscribe to that and be able to do it. So we are beginning to push a lot more of that side. The good thing is, what we're seeing is renewables are becoming much more competitive.
Correct.
The prices of solar has come down quite dramatically over the years. And at the moment, it's pushing close to parity, at least from a generation point of view, with gas in the country. Apart from generation itself, Tenaga is also the transmitter and the distributor of electricity in the country. Mm-hmm. So we are also changing our transmission and distribution to allow much more flexibility to adopt to more renewable sources in. Because when you talk about generation capacity, which are big, chunky units all over the world and all over the country, your way that you plan is modular. Mm-hmm. Where we put it into place, we distribute it, and we cross-balance in very few places in Malaysia. When you talk about distributed generation, it comes from all over the place. And with a generation that is variable. When the sun is high intensity, it's heavier. Mm-hmm. When the cloud cover comes in, it drops. So how you balance the grid is going to be a big thing. So we're investing back into the grid to make sure the grid prepares to accept more renewable generation in the country.
Right. Coal still remains as the largest fuel source for power generation in Malaysia. Mm. Are we ready to move away from coal and focus on other more sustainable energy sources?
I think it's a balance as anything else. The energy trilemma suggests that you have to deal with affordability. so that the rakyat gets cheaper and affordable energy. You have to deal with the concepts of security, which is important because you want reliable supply to come in. And also, fundamentally, the footprint that it causes, sustainability. So how you manage the three is how good the country does along the way. And I think in Malaysia, we have our last greenfield coal plant that we installed in terms of Jimah last year. And I think going forward, it's unlikely that we'll have new greenfield plants. Replacement for old coal plants, maybe, because you can install better technology to them to drive down the footprint and get cheaper coal inside it, better production along the way. But unlikely that we'll have fresh greenfield plants coming up. So Malaysia is on the route of transforming its generation capacity to more greener sources.
20% by 2025 renewables, right? 20%. We are probably about 2 to 3% at the moment.
At the moment, we're about there.
Is it a realistic target by 2025?
No, you've seen, for example, when large-scale solar projects are put in, you generate 1 gig of tender going up. Within a 2-year window, you can install that much into the network. It's not that hard to actually quickly ramp up. The key is actually when you ramp up, can the system handle the variability that comes in? And that's one of the obligations that Tenaga is working very hard on to
so
make sure we can sustain.
So investing a lot in technology then?
We're investing in technology, we're investing in things that will allow us to manage the variability along the way so the rakyat gets stable, consistent energy supply.
Now, I want to talk about the growth opportunities for Tenaga Nasional, right? It seems like the Malaysian market has peaked because 99% of Malaysians are already enjoying electricity in Peninsula Malaysia, which is the bulk of your business. What is there to do? What more to do for Tenaga? What else do you have in mind?
I think there are still a lot of investments that can be still done in Malaysia, right? As we invest more into the grid to allow renewables to come in, the grid improvements will require us to put in more capex and so on. So there is still growth coming in from Malaysia, not necessarily from generation only, but also to make sure reliability and quality of the grid gets better. Second is providing optionality for the customers to better manage what they have. So we talked about just now what's the consequence of COVID and digital adoption inside it. So in the key things that we're providing, for example, in our smart meter program, as we roll out smart meters in the country, we're giving the consumer the ability to look at his consumption pattern, to take control of his consumption pattern in a better form, to set alerts along the way so he can manage his costs in a better form. So by providing more technology, you can improve things in the country, not only for the betterment of cost for the consumer, but also for better energy efficiency and so on along the way. So I think there is still some amount of investments that need to be done in the country. Tenaga is also spending some amount of resources investing, particularly in the renewable sector internationally, because one of the key things that we're doing is acquiring capability, building a critical mass and scale and learnings, and then trying to bring it back into Malaysia. We've been very successful in our UK investments. I think if you add up our UK and our European investments, we're nearly at about 500 megawatts of solar already acquired internationally.
You also have footprint in places like Turkey, Kuwait, Pakistan, India, and these are mostly in renewables?
They're mixed, conventional and renewables, but our going forward position is predominantly renewables
for overseas. So for overseas. Do you see the overseas business to be a key driver of future earnings?
It will be, yeah. And I think in doing for two reasons. One is an earnings play, growing and scaling up and doing it. But second is also bringing capability, technology, and that we can utilize and learn from elsewhere and bring it back. Because Malaysia is at the early stages of its growth, so the faster I can transition that one back, the quicker Malaysia also gets along that pace.
Right. Can you also talk a bit about the NFCP, the National Optical Fiberization Plan, right? I understand that you have rolled out your pilot project in Jasin, Melaka last year, right? What's next?
Oh, we've been excited about that one. That's been something that the team has been very, very happy about doing, because it's about serving the people, yet being allowing us to open up a new revenue stream along the way. And when we did Jasin, we brought the broadband connectivity capability to lesser developed parts of Malaysia, and it creates a better sense of purpose in that song. So in Jasin, we passed about 1,100 houses in that first pilot project, and we had originally planned that within a year we would get conversion rates of about 10%. We're now up to about 15% converted. Yeah, they've already signed up for that connection. And since that pilot project, we've now expanded it out of Jasin into Aikoroh and so on. And now we're up to about 19,000 homes passed already in that project. It is our hope that by second quarter next year, we should be passing more than 140,000 homes. So the broadband element becomes a new viable business for
Plugger. Will there be a substantial earnings coming from department?
In a five-year window or six-year window, yes. Mm-hmm. At the moment, we're building the base infrastructure to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. But what's important for us is about building future legs of revenue, but bringing value also to Malaysia. Because we are touching parts of Malaysia that are underprivileged, that has not been covered along that way.
I would like to talk a bit about your transformation plan, Reimagining Tenaga 2025. So you aim to be the top 10 utility company in the world. So you just kind of passed the halfway mark here, right? Now, what sort of progress have you made and progress that you're most proud of 1.5 years in Tenaga?
I think if you look at Reimagining Tenaga, it's a great blueprint that was actually laid out by my predecessors in order to launch Tenaga into a different footing. A footing that requires Tenaga to adopt to new ways of doing things. A footing that forces Tenaga to be much more competitive and stuff. And what we're seeing is changes embedding into the company. And I think one of the key things that's come up is this creation of the new subsidiaries, Generation Co and Retail Co. It's not just about collecting things and putting it inside. It's about changing the way we do it.
To be more efficient.
To be much more efficient, much more focused. Say, for example, in a generation business, right? When we reordered Genco, we started with a clean sheet of paper. And the basic message is, how would you do it differently, not constrained with what you're doing today? So we are centralizing a lot of the technical services in the center, serving the businesses so that we can drive learnings and capabilities so that the plants get to enjoy the benefits of being able to do that. We get to deploy better economies of scale by collecting along that way. So that will give us the better capability to compete as we move along and adopt the new things as it comes in. So it's part and parcel of the evolution and transformation of Tenaga to become much more efficient and stronger. The retail goal is about changing the way that we do it by putting the customer at the forefront. Change our lens to look at it. What does the customer want? How do we excite him? What do we bring in? And bringing more digital into play. So if you see things like our app is a very, very simple app, but the penetration rate now is very good. Between the web and also our app, we've got a coverage sign up of 3.7 million people in Malaysia use the app now. So now they get to control what their consumption is along the way. And it's an easy form of looking at it. At any time you want to see, you can do it. We attach that with smart meter, then you have the ability to start to control things along the way.
I'd like to talk a bit about you as a person, right, as a corporate leader. I believe that the pressure that you're having here, or maybe the expectations, very much different from your previous positions, for example, in MISC, in Petronas, because Tenaga, there is a lot of public interest at stake, right? What was there any important leadership lessons that you have learned that's been significant to you during your tenure so far in Tenaga National?
I've been lucky, to be very frank, right? I've had the privilege of working for international companies and then came back and worked in national companies, from Petronas to Khazanah and so on. But when I came back to Malaysia, it was fundamentally to find something that was a mixture of running a business, having commercial focus and so on, but being able to serve the country in a different form. Hence the choices of going to Petronas, going to Khazanah and the like. Yeah? So coming to Tenaga, it's like, rapid growth in terms of what are the expectations outside, right? Because nowhere in Malaysia is untouched by tenaga, right? Everybody is a customer in some form or the other, or enjoy the benefit. So it's required me to actually take a step further and understand from the implications of what we do and how does it spread out. Yeah, not just from a customer point of view, but how does the ecosystem deal with us? And how do we balance it off to run like a corporate, but have positive impact to Malaysia? And how do we help Malaysia also grow on the other side?
So one incident that happened during the MCO, I think it was end of May, was there was a lot of public backlash against Tenaga because people were finding that there was a spike in their electricity bills without even realizing, right? And you had to call for a special conference. I remember it was end of May, around that time, right? You know, what were the lessons that you learned from that experience?
I think it was, to be frank, it was a trying time because the pandemic was a new thing for the country, right? And even for Tenaga, we were learning. We were learning what would it require when we had to keep people in office, locked up at home and stuff. So understanding what consumer patterns were changing. At the same time, we still had to discharge our basic obligation, right? The basic obligation was keeping the lights on, high reliability service, and looking after our staff to balance it out. I think we've done well in trying to do that. But maybe what we could have done better was actually to understand if we put ourselves in the consumer side, what could we have done better to help them manage their cost in a better form, give better transparency along the way so they had the opportunity to look at that. So hence, our push was actually get them onto the digital side. Push the area in terms of web application so that you get it.
Put the power in their hands.
Put their power in their hands, right? So what we're beginning to appreciate is we need to put the customer to the forefront. And in that sense, by creating Retail Co, we hope that evolution will change Tenaga in that form.
Thank you so much, Dato' Amir, for your time. I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I wish you all the best with what you're trying to do with Tenaga National.
Thank you for having me.